It began as a normal day, routine day. Soon a lot of people are going to pass right down this path, right through the gate, through this entry into the temple area. It's nearly prayer time, so we're pretty sure it's going to be full. It's a great place for me to be. Nearly every day I was placed here. You see, I've been crippled for a long time, since birth. I hope to receive charity again today from those more fortunate than me. More fortunate than me. That would be most people, I believe. For over 40 years, I haven't been able to move to a spot to move myself anywhere. Not even to this place to beg. Well, soon, two men approached me. So I did what I normally do. I asked them for money. But their response was a bit strange, quite different than normal. They wanted my full attention. They wanted my eye contact. Now what, I thought. I think I've seen it all. Well, first they told me they didn't have any silver or gold. They didn't have any money. I've heard that before. That's nothing new. But then one of the men continued. He said, "What I have, I give you." What did he have to give? Piece of bread? Maybe a drink of water? I don't know. No, he gave a command, an obviously misguided command. He told me to walk. To walk. Don't these guys know that I've been crippled for decades? Walk? They say walk. But they did add, "In the name of Jesus, walk." Now, I've been begging in these temple court areas for a long time, and I've heard of this Jesus. This Jesus comes down from Nazareth, used to from time to time, but I could never get close. I never saw him. So now the man says, "Walk." Why so cruel? Why does he have to tease me like this? But then he reached down to me and he grabbed my hand and he pulled me up and I didn't fall. I didn't even feel weak. In fact, I felt strong. I could stand. I could walk. In fact, I was able to jump. It's true. It is true about this Jesus. He's God. He's alive. He's powerful. He's loving. Praise God. And you know, other folks around me, when they saw what happened, well, they were also amazed. This man, Peter said, "What I have, I give you." And what he had and what he gave me, why, it was amazing. It was from God Himself. Blessings for my body and blessings for my soul. For I could now walk. And by the power of Jesus, I now had the gift of faith. I believe. You know, silver and gold, they just don't compare. Listen to our text from Acts chapter 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. What I have, I give you. The Lord, through Peter, obviously gave this man something far greater than silver or gold. In our first lesson earlier from the book of Isaiah, that 700-year-old prophecy, we heard about the great change that would occur on earth when the Lord Jesus came. A few. Then will the lame leap like a deer. The eyes of the blind were opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, the mute tongue shouted for joy. But the Lord's greatest purpose, as Isaiah recorded also, was that he would come to save us. And salvation was accomplished through Jesus. Jesus, who worked a miracle in the legs and in the heart of a crippled man. And what Peter gave impacted more than just this man. Immediately after the healing, we read that all the people were astonished and came running. Well, no surprise there. What Peter gave that crippled man was far better than healed legs, as great as that was. Peter directed their attention immediately toward Jesus. That's where his focus went. You see, this miracle opened the door for Peter to share a much greater miracle. He was able then to share the miracle of forgiveness. For it was through Jesus, he told them, that this man was healed. But then he went on to say, shortly thereafter, repent, turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come. And then to those opposition church leaders, he proclaimed, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Yes, what I have, I give you. And what Peter shared with the people was the news of peace. But it was peace that could only come through a different kind of healing than just legs. Peace that could only come through spiritual healing. Peter couldn't share silver or gold. He didn't have any. But he had something far greater, far better. He had the words and the power and the love of Jesus to share. Those were Peter's real treasures to give, to share. Do you and I have any treasures greater than that? To give, to share. Christian education incorporates and applies this statement, what I have, I give you. For example, we see Jesus providing Christian education throughout this worship space. What I have, I give you. What did Jesus have? He had great blessings to give the children who gathered around him, as our picture windows show on that side. What I have, I give you. Jesus engaged a woman at the well to talk about water, leading her, of course, to the water that leads to eternal life. What I have, I give you. Jesus sat down on a mountainside and spoke amazing things, for he spoke with authority. He spoke about the kingdom of God. Christian education happens in countless ways and in countless places where those who bear the name of Christian live and dwell. What I have, I give you. A Sunday school teacher shares the good news of Jesus and his love and care with those children in their care. What I have, I give you. A Lutheran elementary school teaches and applies the Word of God during lessons, during discipline, during discussions about world events. What I have, I give you. A Bible class teacher helps his students to dig deeper and deeper and deeper into the Word of God. What I have, I give you. A mother gathers her child on her lap and shares Bible story after Bible story. What I have, I give you. A father leads his children and family in prayer and in devotion as they gather around the kitchen table. What I have, I give you. A mother and father point out to their children the majesty and the glory of God as they travel and vacation in the Northwoods and view the spectacular stars on a clear, dark night. What I have, I give you. A grandparent describes to her grandchildren the many ways in which the Lord has provided and cared for them, comforting them during loss, strengthening them during challenge, encouraging them during many blessings. What I have, I give you. A neighbor, aware of a friend's health crisis, assures him that he's praying for him, and then reminds him that God is there for him. Trust in him. He knows what you're going through. What I have, I give you. In what ways will you give what you have as you provide Christian education? Formal or informal? At church, at home, at the beach, in the car, at the campsite, wherever. You have the greatest riches and treasures. The Apostle Paul reminds you, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Jesus gave up the riches of heaven to become poor, to empty himself of his glory and his power, and to suffer the punishment for our sins. And through his poverty, we have riches, the riches of forgiveness. You have the riches of being adopted into God's family, where you are held securely and safely in his hands and close to his heart. You have the riches of everlasting perfection and joy and presence with God awaiting you. Paul described himself as poor, yet making many rich. You have everything you need when you have Christ. You share riches when you share the good news of Jesus and his plan of salvation. That's what you have to give without losing a thing. Consider Jesus' words when he was speaking to some church members who were going through some really, really tough times in first century Rome, Roman Empire times. Jesus said, I know your affliction and your poverty, yet you are rich. So what were these struggles of these early Christians? Well, because of their faith, they could have been going through imprisonment, property confiscation, Yes, they could have been dealing with unfair taxation or religious persecution or facing death. Just being a Christian made life tough. And yet Jesus said to them, they were rich, storing up treasure. One writer said, when we make it our main purpose in life to remain in God's kingdom through faith in Christ, and we do everything we can to share the blessings of the kingdom with others, then we are storing up treasures in heaven. Then we're rich. In the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, Moses reminded us how we can be agents of Christian education, using parents as an example, obviously because parents are the ones who are primarily responsible for the spiritual training of their children. He tells us, these commandments that I give you today, he's addressing this to parents, to adults, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. So this means that we, parents, we, adults, obviously need to stay connected to God's Word. And don't you know that our spiritual education really only began when we were confirmed? That's a lifelong thing. Our spiritual journey never ends. To have the Word of God nicely displayed in a seldom or never opened Bible is like having a stocked refrigerator that stays closed. Or, as a writer said, to have food is good. To eat it is a lot better. Feast your soul on the bread that came down from heaven. Then as parents, we can complete and say, what I have, I give you. Or as Moses put it, impress God's word on your children. Talk about God's word when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. In other words, all the time. True Christian education, in any form, values and shares the treasures of God's Word. As the psalmist so beautifully put it when he wrote, the law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. And yet, one might wonder, can I really do this? Do I have the right training? Can I really carry out that phrase, what I have, I give you? Well, consider for a moment then the jealous church leaders who, shortly after they had imprisoned Peter and John and after the healing of that lame man, Scripture tells us that they said this, or they did this. When the church leaders saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. But do you know how it goes on? And then they took note that these men had been with Jesus. That's Christian education. That's grassroots Christian education, spending time with Jesus. Yes, you can do this. In fact, I'll be bolder than that. You must do this. Be strengthened as you spend time with Jesus, lots of time. Be encouraged as you read His Word every day. Then you'll be prepared. And then you'll want to share the greatest treasure there is, knowing that heaven is your home because Jesus is your Savior. You'll be ready. You'll be motivated because there's nothing more important to share. There's nothing more important to give anyone than the treasure of God's grace. The healing of a crippled man really led to a greater opportunity for that man and for many others, an opportunity to hear about Jesus and to hear about the way to heaven. That's Christian education in action. You know, in many of our church bodies' missions, whether they're here in the United States or around the world, there are local pastors, missionaries, church leaders who provide medical treatment, who provide water and food, clothing. They provide pots and pans and mosquito nets, soap, toothpaste. I guess in a sense you could say they're putting into practice what I have, I give you, in a physical sort of way, providing for physical needs. There, they're really showing Christ's love. But then, like Peter and John with the crippled man and all those other people, connections are then made. Doors are opened so that the greater news of a Savior is then shared, so that the greatest treasures, the treasures of the good news of a Savior, are given away. Whether it's Peter or John, or missionaries, or you or me, the question remains the same. What do you have to give? Amen.